No Call List, Constitutional Doubt on Hot Political Issue by Adam Liptak. He court decision late Thursday forbidding the government from carrying out national Do Not Call Registry on First Amendment grounds will force appeals courts and lawmakers to make some excruciating choices. The registry, and indeed all measures to combat telemarketers, are enormously popular with the public. Already, Americans have listed 50 million phone numbers that they had hoped telephone solicitors would stop calling after October 1st, when the program was scheduled to go into effect. But the decision, by Judge Edward W. Nottingham, of the Federal District Court in Denver, made what now legal experts say is a good case, that regulators had engaged in unconstitutional discrimination in allowing people to block commercial calls, but not calls from charities, political parties, religious institutions, and polling organizations. Under existing doctrine by the Supreme Court, said Jeffrey R. Stone, a law professor at the University of Chicago and an expert on free speech issues, it's a perfectly reasonable decision. Unlike the decision Tuesday by a federal judge in Oklahoma, which ruled that the Federal Trade Commission had overstepped its authority in establishing the registry, Judge Nottingham's decision is not subject to a quick fix. While Congress, in a stunningly rapid bipartisan response, supplied the needed authority to moot the decision in Oklahoma almost immediately, it faces unpalatable alternatives in response to Judge Nottingham's decision. Short of instructing regulators to create a registry that allows the blocking of a much broader range of calls, or one that allows consumers to choose among a menu of the sorts of calls they do not wish to receive, lawmakers can only wait to see whether the courts will uphold the telemarketing restrictions in their current form. Lawyers for the FTC yesterday filed an appeal with the United States Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit, also in Denver, and a request to Judge Nottingham that he stay his decision. If he declines to issue a stay, FTC lawyers said, they intended to ask the Tenth Circuit to do it for him. In the meantime, the largest telemarketing industry group has asked its members to abide by the national Do Not Call List voluntarily while the courts sort out the issue. We are telling our members, yes indeed, we don't want you calling people who have told anyone they don't want any calls, said H. Robert Weinson, president of the Direct Marketing Association. While it was not clear how many telemarketers would agree, Mr. Weinson added that up to the moment I have had nobody disagree. Much of the legal terrain in the telemarketing case is clear. There is no dispute that the marketing calls forbidden by the registry are commercial speech. Nor does anyone dispute that commercial speech is not entitled to as high a level of First Amendment protection as many other forms of speech, including that of charities, political parties and religious institutions. At first blush, then, the distinction drawn by the creators of the Do Not Call Registry would seem to draw the line in precisely the right place. But legal experts said that analysis was too superficial. They said that commercial speakers were entitled to insist that the government justify discrimination against them by showing that there is no other good way to overcome the problem it is trying to solve. In legal terms, as Judge Nottingham put it, a content-based distinction cannot be made on constitutional grounds unrelated to the asserted government interest. The government's interest here, of course, is the protection of privacy in the home and the right to be free from unwanted phone calls. Lawyers for the telemarketers said there was no logical connection between the registry's limited scope and advancing that interest. A ringing phone is a ringing phone, said Robert Corn Revere, a Washington lawyer who represents the American Teleservices Association and two Colorado telemarketers, which are the three plaintiffs in the case. You don't regulate commercial speech differently if the problem you seek to regulate has nothing to do with the commercial nature of the speech. It is for that reason that legal scholars said Judge Nottingham's decision was at least plausible. It's obviously not a popular decision, and for millions of people it is a profoundly irritating one, said Floyd Abrams, the prominent First Amendment lawyer. But it is consistent with existing First Amendment law. Legal experts agreed that the ultimate outcome of the Denver case will turn on the proper interpretation of a case decided by the Supreme Court in 1993 involving Newsracks, the sidewalk boxes that contain newspapers and advertising pamphlets. In that case, the court held that the city of Cincinnati had violated the First Amendment in banning, in the interest of aesthetics, only the advertising pamphlets. The discrimination was unconstitutional, the court held, even though the pamphlets were commercial speech, and the newspapers were entitled to full First Amendment protection. The distinction between the two, it said, was insufficiently linked to the city's interest in beautification. Lawyers for the Trade Commission pointed to ways in which the registry differs from the Cincinnati News Rack regulation. Only 62 of the 2,000 news racks in the city, or about 3%, contained advertising materials, meaning that the regulation would have had only a trivial impact. By contrast, said Lawrence DeMille Wagman, a staff lawyer at the FTC, blocking only commercial calls could eliminate as many as 80% of unwanted calls. But Judge Nottingham ruled that nothing turns on the numbers, which he estimated at 40 to 60%. While he noted that the government is not required to make progress on every front before it can make progress on any front, he ruled that if the government avoids regulating certain fronts, it cannot justify its abstention on these fronts based on the content of the speech. In any event, Mr. DeMille Wagman said, the FTC can indeed link commercial calls to its interest in protecting people from mealtime intrusions. He said that commercial companies were less likely to honor requests to put people on their individual do not call lists, and more likely to engage in fraud, than were other kinds of groups. Judge Nottingham ruled that the record in the case did not support those assertions. In a passing remark, Judge Nottingham outlined what he thought regulators might remain free to do if his ruling stands. Were the do not call registry to apply without regard to the content of the speech, or to leave autonomy in the hands of the individual, he wrote, it might be a different matter. Congress could, then, at substantial political cost, and in some cases against its members' own interests, create a registry that would allow the blocking of a broader range of calls from charities, political fundraisers, and the like. It could also probably allow consumers to choose which kinds of call they would block. Yesterday, in a separate case against the Federal Communications Commission, which also has responsibility for the registry, the Tenth Circuit declined to act on a request by telemarketing groups to defer the implementation of some commission rules while the court considers that case. But because of Judge Nottingham's decision in the FTC case, the registry is likely to stay on hold until the overall matter is settled by the courts. Indeed, if his reasoning is upheld, the telemarketers can be expected to challenge many state do not call registries on the same grounds. But several scholars noted that the Supreme Court's commercial speech cases, as a whole, are not entirely coherent. The doctrine itself is of recent vintage, first announced in 1976, and though the court has decided many cases in the area, since then they are often hard to harmonize. That means the telemarketing cases may give the Supreme Court an opportunity to explain the limits of the commercial speech doctrine. On the other hand, it had just such an opening in June, in a case involving corporate speech by Nike about its labor practices. After hearing arguments and receiving dozens of briefs, the court decided not to decide the case, after all.